This meeting is now being recorded.
Nuru, hi, this is Yvette in the room. I just want to test your microphone to make sure you can be heard. Can you hear me? Perfect. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Jennifer here. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the room. We're a couple minutes early, so I'm just making some noise just because I noted Carrie Ann's comment that she couldn't hear anything. So there was actually no talking, so I don't know if you can hear me now. But anyway, feel free to dial in.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me now?
Hi, yes, we can hear you. Welcome.
Okay, it's not working on my phone.
Excellent. Okay, everyone, so we're at 1 minute past the hour. I think the other two members of the subgroup we're possibly waiting on are Matagoro and Denise. So we can give it a couple more minutes, and then the way that the subtopic groups, subcalls, or calls run is, I guess, carry on your rapporteur, so you can either lead the call or make a decision amongst yourselves how you want to do the call. We haven't got an agenda. We just put the document on screen for the topics that were initially discussed in Madrid, and I know there was some more discussion in Johannesburg. But from this point on, I'll just leave it up to you all to have your call.
Hey, Jennifer, this is Eric. Do you know if Denise was planning to join today? Did she send any regrets or anything?
Yvette, do you know if Denise sent any regrets?
Hi, Eric, this is Yvette. I don't have any as of on hand. I think she was planning to join, but I know she has some Adobe Room issues of trying to get in here. So she may be trying to connect back, and I don't have any regrets as of yet from her.
Okay. So I'm not sure exactly whether – have people had a chance to look at the document that's being displayed now in advance of today? I can't remember if it got sent around, but I think it's the work product from our last face-to-face.
Hi, it's Carrie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Eric, I looked at it, but I think because I wasn't able to join into the meetings during Johannesburg, I don't know if you mind leading today, and then I'll take the notes and then circulate it by email to the ICANN staff, so they can at least upload the notes from this call. Because I think it's more assimilating ourselves as to how we plan to proceed with the work in terms of summarizing our discussion, dividing what any other research or review of the material that we need to answer the questions. I was okay generally with the questions that were posed because it was similar to what we discussed in when we were in, I think, Madrid and when we started to think about this topic in Copenhagen.
Right. Okay. Okay, that's fine. I can do the leading. So can someone unlock the presentation for me so I can make a mess of things? Thank you very much. So, let's see. Nope. Okay. Just trying to get the hang of this. Hold on a second. I think my computer is having an issue. Let me just, oh, great. Now I've totally lost where you all, there we go. Cool. All right. Problems fixed. Okay, cool. So let's see. My recollection, and I believe this will be borne out by the document here, was that, we broke things into sort of high-level categories, and then we broke things down into things like attacks and whatnot. So, I mean, this was really kind of a straw man. It definitely could use any input that other people have. So let me try and find the part that I was actually thinking about. Like, for example, there's a section in here somewhere where we talk about, like, DDoS and stuff like that, like right here. Coalescence of registry backend operators, multitudes of victims, DNS, DDoS. So I guess one of the questions I have for the group now that there's sort of more of us sort of plugged in is, despite having already asked, I'll just sort of ask again, do we think that this is at the right level and the right sort of scope for for the sub-team that sort of the future challenges sub-team? Or do we think some of it's too far over the horizon, or some of it's too near term, or do people want to go over it? Like, if not everyone's had a chance to look at it, one of the things we could do is we could sort of go through it. I was just reading comments in the chat room. Okay, Steve, sounds good. If you all want, one of the things we can do to spend our time is we can start off by reviewing what's here, and I think that'd be advisable if people haven't had a chance to look at this yet, and if people feel pretty secure that they've got a sense of it, then we can jump right into sort of discussing it. So I'll ask for a poll of who thinks that we should start off by reviewing what is currently listed in the product.
Hey, Eric, this is Denise. Apologies, I'm not able to get into Adobe Connect yet. So let me just share that I think a quick review of what we have in the list so far would would be a useful thing. And I guess I'm not as concerned about whether it's too far in the future or not. I think more concerned about, I guess, working towards consensus on that we have reflected what collectively we find to be the most important and impactful future challenges for ICANN.
Sure, yeah, that makes sense. How does everyone feel about that?
Hi, Eric, it's Carrie. I agree with Denise. I think what would be really useful as well is not to necessarily remove everything from the list we have as we go along in the review, but we should actually raise it as these are the things that we think are concerns that ICANN should think about in the future. These are the things that the sub focused on in terms of more detail, but they should keep it on the radar as they go forward and probably have it subsumed into other reviews, if not under ours, some of the other review teams that they may have, so at least the work would continue. Because I think the list is a pretty good list, especially from the technical level.
Okay. Does anybody substantively have comments that would suggest we should go back over this list, or does everyone pretty much agree with Carrie Ann? Anybody who thinks that we should – okay, so I see a request for a review. Okay. Well, so we can sort of maybe spend just a few minutes going through it, mostly so it doesn't become kind of like a reading session. But, yeah, I realize not everybody was able to attend the face-to-face, and so that was why I was asking if people had had a chance to look at the document. Not at all. So if you sort of look at what's currently being displayed, so I think Denise is the only person who's unfortunately not able to get into the Adobe Connect. So is everybody else seeing? Oh, Steve, I see your hands up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Eric. Morning. Thanks. Just ask a question of clarity, is this list comprehensive of what was discussed? I think it was you and Denise in Johannesburg. Does this cover what you guys worked on in Joburg?
I believe so. I think Denise is probably going to have trouble verifying that herself until she's able to get into the Connect room. But, in sort of scanning it, it looks like a good sort of digest of, I think we initially did a couple passes of scratching down our thoughts, and so I think this looks a little more coalesced. So okay. I can sort of, maybe as we go through it real quickly now, if anything jumps out, then we'll just sort of make a note of it and circle back. Does that make sense?
Yep. Thank you.
Cool. Okay. As the sort of description activity sort of starts off, our goal is to sort of get a longer view of what's going to be important. So this way we don't wind up, for example, through all sub-teams being focused on things that are here today at the expense of the report having utility down the road, which I think is also kind of in concert with what Carrie Ann just said. So there's a sort of a five-bullet list at the top that talks about just kind of a brief methodology how we might approach this. So how do we assess future challenges? We'll need to explore, forecasting research and think in the space of our internet unique identifiers, that the ones that fall within our purview. What has been or could be impact of the evolution of numbers and types and devices in the DNS? So, this was sort of, I believe, so, Denise will obviously keep me honest on all this stuff, but, this will sort of be one of the places where we'll understand the way things are used now, and we'll pay attention to things that are coming both through briefings and our own expertise to know how this will be important, how we suspect this might be important in the future, whatever it is we're looking at. Then in reviewing the ICANN security efforts, I think we'll just want to be able to be cognizant of what the other subgroups are doing so that we don't replicate work, but, certainly I suspect there'll be some disjunction between the security threats that another couple subteams look at and what this group will look at. So again, we'll just sort of try and stay on the same page with everyone else. And then, as new technologies emerge, there's an increased chance for the identifier systems that are in existence today to be used in ways that they haven't been foreseen in the future. And so we'll just have to be careful on the slippery slope not to sort of wax poetic about things that take us off into the bushes. So those are the sort of the high-level framing objectives from the group. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Okay. Oh, okay, Carrie, go ahead.
Eric, just to add to the final sentence of what you said, I think it's important to note that because the technologies are moving so fast, I think as a subgroup we need to put that as a, not a disclaimer, but a caution, recognizing that while we may know that these are the proposed objectives for the future for the DNS, we recognize that things may evolve and change. So I think it's to find a way how we could have generic security recommendations that would apply to any form of technology going forward. So I think while we look at this as well, looking at the emerging technologies, there are certain threats that will be evasive no matter what the technology that is there. And I think we need to look at those kind of future threats and challenges as well. So for example, if it is that there are certain platforms that are being used and there's no regulations in place or there's no basic security testing as the technology is being applied. So those kind of generic best practices, so to speak, we could probably highlight those as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think it goes without saying that, you know, we'll understand that, you know, in looking broad, sort of like in our scope in terms of references, and looking broadly, we understand that recommendations we come back with will have to be made so that they fall within the purview of ICANN. Nevertheless, but I think your point is well made that, you know, we will necessarily need to look a little broadly, especially when it comes to future challenges. Does anybody have any other thoughts on that? Okay, cool. So let's see. So the new items to discuss, I'm going to just kind of sort of, you know, kind of wave my hand at that a little bit. So middleware research, emerging technologies, internet governance, and privacy regulation like GDPR, which may be more becoming present. But nevertheless, as far as new items to discuss, does anybody want to add to that? Because we may be able to sort of really focus up on those, and four of them, I suspect, could easily draw the rest of our time, or maybe not, but potentially. But certainly I don't want that list to be considered comprehensive as other people have other thoughts. So if we were to, for example, try and close those off in the call today, does anybody feel like we should be adding anything to that or taking anything away, potentially? So Carrie Ann, your hand is up, but was it up from before or is it up again? And then I have, okay, cool. And then Amin, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes. Hey.
All right. So a quick comment on the list that is mentioned of the attacks. I can see clearly that these are current things, so current situations, current types of attacks, and dealing with these attacks is the responsibility of IT security, which probably fits under group number one. Like maybe DDoS, route injection, like BGP stuff. It's all part of IT security operations at ICANN, and there is a high probability that measures are already implemented towards dealing with such types of attacks. Same for social engineering or DNS zone file attacks. I can see the list. So, how are we going to focus on future challenges if we are trying to deal with current attacks? Should we have descriptions that go more towards projecting what these types of attacks could look in the future? Is this what we're trying to reach?
Well, so I'm happy to respond to that. Unless somebody else prefers to go first, I don't want to monopolize the mic. Okay, I'll go first and then I'll watch for hands. So I think this is a sort of a very good point that I think, there one of the other sub-teams is ICANN SSR, another sub-team is DNS SSR, and it's reasonable to assume that those teams They'll be completely read out to the other group, so this shouldn't be a mystery. It's just, you know, they'll be moving in parallel. We'll address issues and threats that that are existent today. So, like a social engineering attack to compromise, like for example, the LRoot deployment, that might have less to do with global DNS security, just because it would be sort of a focused attack on, like, you know, InfoSec. It might have more to do with ICANN SSR's remit, which is to sort of, you know, check compliance, make sure that they've got, you know, proper controls in place to remediate, blah, 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 have an IR team, have a SOC, whatever else. So my guess is that those very specific attacks might be addressed by another team. The very broad attacks that we see today might be addressed by the DNS SSR team. I think one of the sort of the nuances we might be trying to do is whether DNS gets used in a new way in the future or a new protocol system behavior or something shows up to use DNS that exists, a facility of DNS today in a different way tomorrow, do those expose new attack surfaces? And I think like name collisions is sort of one of my canonical references. But I see Denise's hands up. So, I mean, before that, Mohammed, does that sort of answer your question at all, or does it sort of still leave it kind of open? I'll let Denise go.
I think we'll just discuss further as we go on. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Denise, go ahead.
Yeah. So on the last topic, I think it's a really useful one for this group to get its hands around. I guess in my mind, I see the division as the other subtopic group assessing the current effectiveness of, you know, Okto middleware research and current challenges and current activities that are occurring right now, whereas we're trying to project 5-10 years down the road and look at whether is ICANN aware of the future challenges? Do they have planning and other resources in place to address it? And does the team have recommendations that we think would be useful to ensure that ICANN is, you know, looking down the road at what we feel are some of the biggest challenges that we expect it to face? And then jumping back to Eric's question on the four items, I think internet governance issues is quite broad. It's a very large umbrella. So I think it would be useful for this group to be more specific about what we're going to look at within internet governance issues. Similarly, I think privacy regulations and GDPR, I think it would be useful to flesh that out a bit more and sort of be more clear about intersection with SSR and how and also, of course, ICANN's objectives. I think the latter two, I think in particular, would be useful to be more specific, because those could be quite broad. And then on the emerging technologies, I think the paper that we reviewed in Madrid, written by Dave Piscatello and Lisa Pfeiffer, strikes me as a really useful stepping off point. I'll stop there.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense, Denise. Mohammed, go ahead.
Thanks, Eric. One thing I'd like to suggest too is that we look at performance security future issues. Like especially when we talk about IoT devices and the increasing number of systems. We talk about limitations on some hardware at providers on the provider's side. And that could also be one interesting topic to be to actually research. And it could be a bit different than the attacks, but it's also part of securing availability of services. Thanks.
Okay. That makes sense. Denise, is your hand up from before, or is it up again?
Sorry, it's old.
Okay. All right. Okay. So maybe we'll just, Steve, hopefully you grab some of that stuff for the notes, some of the sort of suggestions. Unless there are other suggestions, Carrie Ann, your hand is up.
Thanks, Eric. There's one thing that I just remembered. When we went to the DNS symposium, there's one question that they weren't able to answer really clearly, because when Mohammed spoke a while ago, it reminded me. I'm not seeing where we're looking at the management of sub-providers' contracts in terms of how the legal unit actually reviews those contracts and how they build in how they build in the monitoring aspect of it in terms of the security provision by subcontractors. So I don't know if probably where we have how effective our ICANN security efforts to known threats and preparation for future threats. Maybe we can also examine the contract management process and how they actually keep their contractors and subcontractors, off contractors, accountable.
Carrie Ann, this is Denise. I'm sorry, I'm away from my laptop, so I didn't raise my hand, Eric. But just a clarifying question, if I may. Were you referring to some, like, the contractors and subcontractors in particular areas, or just a broad, you know, process relating to any contractor or subcontractor?
I think it was more specific to what Mohammed spoke about in terms of the provision of hardware and software, the contractors that actually provide the base operational instruments or the framework or the infrastructure for the DNS, to see how they manage those contractors. It's more to look to make sure that they have at least clauses that speak to the requirements for them to have certain security inbuilt in the provision of the services they have at the stage of the call for proposals or at the stage of the actual contract that they give to the selected contractor.
Okay. And it and so that and of course some elements of the DNS there are no contracts. Did you also want to look at that?
No, I think it's more specific to what is control.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's outsourcing. I can probably frame it probably more specific to outsourcing.
Okay. I see. Yes.
Guys, one last comment, please. But part of my work on smart city security, there is a lot of research around the vendors selection, and this is also could be an expansion from the idea of assessing hardware and software to assessing trends. There is a lot of emphasis in future environments or organizations around the process of selecting vendors or selecting solutions. So maybe we can highlight that as a way of securing ICANN, because securing, it's also about evaluating the selection of these vendors, evaluating technologies that are going to be used, and we can even go towards talking about how techniques to avoid vendor monopolies or vendor influence towards the selection process in these types of solutions. future solutions, future technological solutions. Another thing that we can also talk about is how SLAs are going to be implemented and how SLAs are increasingly being required from the vendors or from the solutions providers, or you can also call them, I think, contractors or subcontractors in this case. So we're talking about subcontractors, but also like outsourcing providers, but also solution providers, vendors. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Mohammed. So I'm going to go ahead. I have my hand up, so I'm going to go ahead and jump in. So I think it'd be useful for us. I'll play the role of fund police or culture cop here. So let's be sure that we consider things broadly, but always remember in our analyses that at the end of the day, if we're to come back with recommendations, they need to be recommendations that ICANN can actually ingest, that fall within its purview. And so we just have to be aware that if we're going to look at things like vendors or SLAs with vendors, that there's depending what you mean, you might very well be talking about like service providers that are far outside the purview of ICANN. And so we wouldn't really be able to construct a recommendation for ICANN based on, the open economy, the sort of the marketplace. That said, certainly it bears looking into, and then our job for ourselves is to just, when we find an issue, basically figure out if there's a projection of issues that map onto what ICANN has control over. So, for example, if there's a vendor who runs, a sort of a subtree in the DNS as a result of a contract, and that has nothing to do with ICANN's TLDs, it may be difficult for us to actually say that there's a SSR future challenges issue for ICANN, unless we can say this is how it relates to the management, delegation, choice of, protection of, whatever, of a TLD, for example. So just sort of throw that out there to bear in mind. And I think it certainly doesn't limit us from looking at the things that you all are talking about, but it puts the onus on us to be sure that at the end of the mapping, if we do think we found a future challenge, we have to illustrate how it relates in a meaningful way to ICANN. So I see Carrie-Anne and then Mohammed.
Absolutely. Thanks, Eric. Let me quickly reply to your comment. I do agree we should avoid any type of evaluation of current SLAs or go into the discussions of SLAs with ICANN-related subcontractors or vendors. Though I do believe something that we can justify through relevant research and future challenges towards smart city or future organizations. What I'm actually thinking about is more related to developing a roadmap towards increasing ICANN consideration of pushing SLAs on vendors and providers. So we can highlight this as a challenge, justify this as a challenge with relevant papers or relevant sources, and then create some small roadmap which can empower ICANN towards better dealing, gradually increasing SLAs on vendors, et cetera.
Just to follow up on what Mohammed is saying, totally agree. I think the idea, Eric, is not to go into probably vendor-specific contracts and looking at the existing contracts they have to scrutinize, but more the ICANN should have certain template contracts that once they go into any of these arrangements, there are certain clauses that would actually cover the concerns you have. One of the things that I used to do is that I used to develop boilerplate clauses that could actually be used in any contract once it's this type of service. We can give specific recommendations, may not be specific language, but at least indicate to them that as a standard practice, as Mohammed said, as once you enter into your SLA, these are things that you should consider, especially as a future challenge, because if we don't manage the contractual arrangements now, whether or not it's specific, I can give recommendations to other persons who actually manage the various DNS. Like, we can it's just to see how can we build in, I think as somebody said earlier, how can we empower them then to actually be able to manage what we're anticipating the future is going to look like.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I think as the sub-team with the title Future in It, we will have the highest level of scrutiny. So just we'll bear that in mind as we go forward. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and just follow through a little more on the plan unless people jump on me to sort of change things up. And then maybe this is a little apropos. The next section in the document talks about the assets that are relevant to this sub-team. And so even just based on what we were just saying a moment ago, my suspicion is that this may grow. But, principally the statement of assets includes identifier systems that are implemented by, for example, the DNS. And that would include issues that result in, for example, hijacking, et cetera, and so forth. And so there's a sub-bullet list in there that breaks out the specific items that are included. Authoritative domain name servers, recursive and stub resolvers certainly play a role. They may not be under ICANN's purview to manage, but they're certainly part of that. Yes, time check. We're 25 minutes out. Thank you, Karen. IP addresses and autonomous system numbers. This one, very complicated, as, for example, ICANN doesn't manage any IPv4, but they manage almost all of the IPv6, depending on how you actually describe manage. That's probably an hour and a half discussion that I won't get into now unless people really want to. But nevertheless, part of the identifier system that relates to ICANN. Protocol parameters. So there's a number of examples of these, but, for example, IANA registries for port identifiers, like DNS's port 53, that's managed by an IANA registry, which is managed as part of PTI. So that's all we have now, but I'm guessing from what we were just saying that, and maybe I can get sort of like agree-disagree, that some people feel like that list may need to grow based on, you know, what we were just talking about, boilerplate contracts, SLAs, vendors, et cetera. So do we feel like that text needs to be augmented? Karen, go ahead.
I think the language that Mohammed gave, if we just give a general one bullet point, I would just cover, I think, Mohammed, you call it vendor management. That's a vendor management system, because that would cover the SLA, that would cover all the contractual stuff, if we just put a general statement most persons would understand. And then as a sub-team, we can work through the specifics and kind of bullet out the other sub-areas that we would consider, because we can't go too wide, as you said, Eric.
True, but I think that sounds fine. I guess my concern is just vendor management. It could mean a lot of different things, and so I wonder a little bit if we maybe aren't talking about the exact same thing. So it might be worth putting some text down so we can actually see clearly, because, you know, the vendors that ICANN contracts with for various ICANN duties are different than, for example, vendors that help facilitate subtrees in the DNS, like, you know, Chiba.jp. Has a whole host of domain names underneath it. It's a prefecture, and it's managed locally inside Chiba, Japan, and it has nothing to do with ICANN. It's possible that what we're talking about with vendors might just need a little more discussion, or at least, like I said, maybe if there's some text that gets put together, it'll be clear whether we're on the same page or not. Because, you know, managing contracts that relate to the sort of the oh, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Sorry, there's a comment in the chat room that it wasn't being heard. Okay. Anyway, so I think it would just be worth putting some text down, because vendor management could mean, like, quite a few different things, and so I think it's just a good idea to sort of, you know, can I get someone to volunteer to draft that sort of bullet text, you know, in the spirit of take a look at the bullets that are there so we have some sense of how much writing, and then maybe someone will go ahead. I'm watching the chat room and looking for hands. I'm not the rapporteur, but I reserve the right to, you know, volunteer people.
Hey, Eric, quick comment here. I definitely do not think we should expand this to vendor management because vendor management would include also other measures. I think we could clarify certain things or point out certain things that we believe to be valid to be researched, especially, for example, performance security and vendor security. And we can limit our work to that. We don't need to expand it more. Like vendor management could include financial stuff or could include maybe sales-related information. That's not things that we need to focus on. We just need the security-related issues.
Okay, Mohammed, I took that as a volunteer operation by you to draft the text, so I appreciate that. so that sounds fine. Just bear in mind, like I said, there will potentially be some scrutiny about how this relates to ICANN, so just keep that in mind as you're going through your text, and yeah, absolutely, I think we'd look forward to seeing that. I'll try and move a little more expeditiously through the sub-bullets because the extent to which we like the outline structure that's there, you may just want to add various pieces of what you were talking about to the different areas. Like there's, if you look at the screen, there's assets, and then down below, there's vulnerabilities, and below that, there's threats, and then there's risk. So, I mean, I don't think any of this is cast in stone, but, you know, it's possible that it'll be easier to structure what you're talking about by breaking out into subsections or not. I'm just sort of throwing that out there. So, but regardless, thank you very much for volunteering. I totally appreciate it. No hands are up. Vulnerabilities. This is a section where I think we were sort of going to be talking about, of the areas above, where are there problems? So I saw a comment scroll by that I can't see now in the chat room. About prefix hijacks, I think, or something like that. Maybe I missed it. But regardless, the vulnerability section would probably be where we would discuss if we thought that there was something that we wanted to dig into, it would go there. I would propose that threats are different than the vulnerabilities in the sense that a vulnerability is, for example, an attack vector and a threat is actually an effectuated attack. And then risks, I think that's the sort of nice area where we could discuss what would happen if. So I like this structure. I mean, maybe other people sort of see it slightly differently, which is totally fine. But I think it breaks out the sort of components so that we can sort of start analyzing them a little more clearly. So before I get into the sort of the actual attacks, does anybody have any comments or questions about that structure? And I see that there's a conversation in the chat room for those that are on audio. Mohammed said that he's going to go ahead and provide some small vendor security text and performance security subsections. And then Amin said that he's happy to give clarifications, and Carrie Ann said that she'll add and when he circulates the first draft. Okay, Steve, go ahead.
Thanks, Eric. Just to clarify, because I think I have a misunderstanding of the sub-team, and I'd like to hear the sub-team's opinion on this. My understanding of the future challenges group was, and again, my understanding, was to look at future challenges, future threats that might affect the DNS and unique identifier system in which ICANN manages, and not necessarily looking at ICANN as the organization. And hearing today's conversation, it sounds like the subteam really wants to focus in on the ICANN as the organization with contracts, SLAs, and that's fine. I just want to understand that better. Or is the subteam supposed to be looking at things, you know, such as things that could threaten the security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS and unique identifiers in the future, such as like DOA and DONA, or blockchains or other things, or is it going to be a combination of both? I just want clarity for my own edification on that. Thank you.
I'm going to throw myself in the queue, but I see that Carrie Ann has got her hand up first.
Hi, Steve. I think it's a combination of both how, and I can be corrected, how I see future threats is actually looking at not just the technology and what the technology can do and where the technology is going or what the threats might be to technology, but it's to actually balance it with the management of that technology, because if it is a future threat, could be we're moving so fast with the technology, advancing and improving the DNS and how it's actually managed and the services that we can provide on the internet, but if it is that it's not managed properly, the faster you go with the technology and the management process is not complementing it, we end up in more disarray in the future. So it's to actually predict from now, how do we lay a foundation at the beginning as the technology is advancing to ensure that the structure that we put in is not slowing it down or preventing it from performing the way it should be, but we actually have remedial measures in the future based on putting them in at the beginning. So it's just to ensure that we can mitigate. So it's more as a future threat if we don't put the mitigation processes in place at the beginning. That is what I'm thinking, and I could be corrected, would be what we're highlighting as a future challenge. I don't know if that adds any clarification. I'm confused the process more.
Okay, good. Yeah, see, I see Steve acknowledged that that made sense to him. So, yeah, and that sounds like pretty much what I was going to say as well. So I'm said probably better than me. Okay. Yeah, it sounds like, and Mohammed made comments and starting to sound like we're all becoming violently in agreement. So I'm gonna sort of say that the proof will be in the pudding. When we start to see the text, it should start to allay people's concerns. But Steve, yeah, I think keeping us honest with questions and observations like that is very, very helpful. So I hope you will continue, please. Okay, so top identifier system attack. So this was something that when we were face-to-face that we just sort of started to put together, and I doubt that we considered – I know we didn't consider it to be completely comprehensive, just kind of a starting point. And in fact, not necessarily everything here will actually be something that I think we may take to fruition. So this is just to sort of get our sort of pumps primed. And, yes, 15-minute check. We're three-quarters of the way there. So route insertion attacks. So what could happen if routing were subverted as in regards to the identifier system that people rely on from ICANN? Coalescence of registry backend operators for multiple TLDs. So what happens when you put all your eggs in relatively few baskets? So it makes for high-value targets. It makes for critical points of failure, maybe not single, but certainly fewer. It means that your software diversity potentially is reduced. So that means that a critical failure, a critical bug, vulnerability, et cetera, in one particular popular variety of software may affect numerous branches of the DNS if they're all run off the same source. It could mean that account compromises, like CloudHopper kind of situations, become more relevant, things like that. So coalescence of registry backend, does that make sense? Does that I'm going to sort of just poll you guys as I go through it so I don't buffalo everyone. Does that sort of make sense, or does that not make sense to anybody? Or comments or concerns? Okay. Cool. Thank you. So the next one was identifier hijacking via social engineering. This one, we didn't wind up breaking out a lot of any examples specifically of that. But Mohammed, I think you even mentioned something kind of sort of adjacent to this as well. So, I think these are actually opportunities also for people that have thoughts or questions to jump in and help annotate the document. So if you see a section like identifier hijacking via social engineering, and you can sort of illustrate how that has, some relevance to what we're talking about, maybe filling in or adding or something would be useful. DNS zone file attacks, what can be done by, manipulating a zone? And I think this could include potentially TLDs that aren't signed by DNSSEC as secondaries. I think there's been a couple recent claims of concern about CCTLDs in that regard that I think may not have been stood up to scrutiny, but nevertheless might have illustrated a point. Mohammed, I see your hand up.
Thank you, Eric. I'm a bit I'm a bit worried. I'll just mention my concerns, and then we can take it from there. Identifier hijacking via social engineering. These are things that we currently see, and organizations are already trying to. So there could be new technologies that would be used in the future, but to do such attacks. But again, how could you predict these? Because if we can predict these, then they are already happening. Same goes for DNS zone file attacks. You mentioned talking about what could happen or what are the things that could go wrong. I do agree, but how would you project that to the future? I'm trying to just to understand a little bit more. Same goes for DNS misuse as covert channel, for example. They are currently happening. And there are ways to deal with these or to monitor these through traffic inspection or the packet monitoring. But then from a future challenge perspective, that's what I'm trying to understand better.
Thank you. Well, so I'll take a stab at that. And rather than maybe go through the three or four that you just sort of went over one at a time, maybe I'll just kind of try to push it back a little bit. So yes, a lot of these are inspired by known concerns today. A lot of those concerns, like with the vendor concern, exist below ICANN's purview. ICANN does not get involved at the third level domains, generally, right? So if you say that there's a covert channel being used, or if you say that there's a social engineering attack that's happening at a registry of a top-level domain, it's very reasonable for ICANN to wonder what that has to do with ICANN. So our job here is to look and see, do, for example, these known attacks pose a threat in the future when people start using identifiers differently? New systems come along, and they actually need to do something at a higher level. And I don't think this list is designed to be comprehensive, so it certainly isn't meant to be limiting. But, you know, in the same breath of talking about how vendor management is generally considered to be below the ICANN level, it sort of happens deeper in the tree, for example, you know, there certainly is a perspective that it relates to the higher level. It could relate to ICANN. Certainly in the future, it's like, well, no one does XYZ today. But like Steve said, you know, suppose there is a sort of an uptake in blockchain. Suppose something like Namecoin, which was presented in Copenhagen, takes off. And now that's a new use of the .bit TLD that isn't currently delegated. So how does that affect ICANN? Well, you know, for example, that has a very big impact for identifier hijacking via social engineering, because I can get in there and I can steal a second-level domain from a top-level domain, and it can never, ever, ever be reclaimed because I have the private key and no one else does. So that would be one way in which a known attack affects the stability at the root. So I think that's kind of what the vein of these sort of starting points are. Denise, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
I think, and I'm sorry, I jumped that back in the chat, so I'm not sure who's speaking before Eric, but I think you also raised it, in my mind, a good useful point. I think in several of these areas there aren't bright lines what's happening now, say what should be addressed in the ICANN, SSR, or DNS, SSR, subcomponents, and our concern about future challenges and ICANN preparations and planning. And I think as we go through the, yes.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, that's much better.
We can hear you now.
Okay. I think for everything in our list, we should go through it and also think about whether there's applicability to ICANN, the two other subtopics, ICANN SSR and DNS SSR, if we feel that, you know, current activities and current responsibilities of ICANN in a topic that we've listed need to be addressed, we should flag that for those other groups. And then we should also, I think, just talk through, where there is overlap And I don't think it's necessarily bad. All of this ultimately is going to be coming together. I think a useful issue has been raised, and for all of our issues, we should also think about whether they either instead of or in addition to should be captured in the ICANN and DNS subtopics as well.
Does that make sense, Mohammed? I mean, I think it makes sense, but I mean, does that sort of satisfy some of your concerns?
Yes, I do agree, and I think we'll just point out this via text, and we can discuss further from there.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks.
Okay, so we're coming up on the sort of the end of the call, so I'm going to try and blast through this real quick. The last section that we had identified here was new dependencies. And so maybe this will feel like the most future-ish of the things we've talked about so far, but like I said, I think keeping in mind how old things are used in new ways is important. But then, for example, in the future, I think we may want to worry about new crypto systems. And by crypto systems, I mean like crypto systems in the mathematical sense, like RSA, like, you know, Bliss, like, you know, whatever. So, for example, DNSSEC, how it continues to use these things in like a post-quantum world. New uses for DNS, is it going to change the way we use DNS when IoT, and I think smart cities fits into that, starts to evolve the ecosystem. And so I think this is one of those cases that might be helpful, Mohammed, just to sort of consider in your sort of your write-up. It's like, you know, yeah, this is how vendors work today, but tomorrow they're going to work. They might work this way, in which case it would affect ICANN the following way. That's kind of our remit. So I think that hopefully sort of makes sense. Alternate naming systems. So we touched on Namecoin. Steve, you mentioned DOA. That's the digital art object architecture, et cetera. Like how that's going to how there may be conflicts there, how there may be issues there, et cetera. Censoring. Loss of confidence in standards. So this one's less of a sort of a bits on the wire. But for example, if people stop paying attention to RFCs because it's just easier to do their own thing, I think the IoT world shows that that's a very distinct possibility where every vendor did their own thing and they put everything in the cloud. And adoption of systems that don't adhere to standards is sort of like cloud. So, Carrie-Anne, I see your hand is up.
Just a quick one. Should it be loss of confidence in standards body or loss of adherence to standards? Because it may not just be a confidence, it could just be a convenience thing. So just wondering.
I think that's a very fair point. I'd actually argue it's both. I mean, loss of confidence means you stop getting people going. Loss of adherence, clearly, yeah, you've got non-standard behaviors throughout the internet. So I would actually say probably both. I mean, having been an IETF participant for many, many years, I've sort of charted the sort of the rate of new blood infusion, and it seems to have a negative trajectory. Yeah, so Steve points out that it's potentially a cause and effect scenario, and I think that's actually a very good characterization personally. Okay, so that takes us through our document. You're now all officially vetted as, you know, able to speak to this document, and we should be up to speed. And we have 2 minutes left, so does anybody have any comments? Maybe this is the AOB section of the call. Carrie-Anne, go ahead.
I had just posted a comment earlier just to make sure everyone was okay with me sending this to Jennifer, my notes, and then having Jennifer just send one comprehensive set of notes to the group. If everyone is okay.
Any objections? No objections. Sounds great. So Denise asked if this is our standing call or if we're meeting each week or what the plan is. I don't plan on being the presenter every time, maybe ever again. I'm sure you guys will all be happy about that. But perhaps we did not do a doodle poll, right, for this sub-team? Is that correct? Thanks. Thank you both. I mean, a doodle poll for in general, I meant.
Hi, Eric. This is Yvette. We did a doodle poll for this one call. We didn't do a doodle poll for a recurring time. We're
okay.
Kind of going to figure that out on this call.
Can I get a show of agreement? Do we believe that we should do a doodle poll for ongoing? Actually, before we do that, let me see how many people agree that how many people think we should do a doodle poll to pick a time, a recurring time, and a recurring frequency? Okay, so Carrie Ann would like a doodle poll. Denise asked if this time is okay. Okay, so Amin says doodle poll. Carrie Ann says doodle poll. Mohammed says this time is okay. And Amin says this time's okay. Well, so this time actually is a problem for me. It gets me into conflict with a recurring meeting I have at Dollar Day Job. So.
Yeah, this is Denise. It's not an ideal time, obviously, as you can tell by me jumping on and off Adobe Connect. But sounds like a doodle poll would be best. Huh?
Yeah, as long as no one objects to a doodle poll, it sounds like nobody expected this was necessarily set in stone. So I will go ahead and agree. I think it would be nice to do a doodle poll. It sounds like this would probably be one of the times on there, but like I said, I won't be able to make it. Okay, any other comments or questions? Thank you, Yvette. Thank you for getting – Yvette says she'll get the doodle poll out later today. All right, great, everyone. Well, I think we're mostly on the same page. There's a couple of writing assignments in flight, and look forward to seeing you guys on the list and on the doodle poll. My pleasure, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Eric. Bye-bye.
Yeah, my pleasure. Bye.
Thanks, Eric. Bye.